Welcome to another episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. I'm James.
I'm Sarah.
And on this week's episode, we're going to talk about philanthropy and then a few of the like most notable female philanthropists in the last couple of years is what I've pulled. We don't necessarily have to talk about that. But before we get into that, do you want to talk about how things are going and then some things that are in the news recently?
Do we really want to talk about things that are in the news recently?
Well, I don't know if you've seen it, but recently the Princess of Wales and Sarah have something in common.
We do?
You both have had cancer. She has cancer. They just recently released it. Like, she dropped a video that basically was like, I went in to have what they thought was a benign something removed. Or she said something removed that they thought was not cancerous, but then they did some tests and found out that it was. So she's going through chemotherapy and stuff. So you didn't have to do that, but...
Yeah, I got lucky. I got to skip chemotherapy.
I'm assuming it was probably breast cancer that they found, because they just said abdominal surgery. And I'm just assuming it was breast cancer. I don't know. I could be wrong.
You know.
But that is something that was just recently released. And then, like, everybody's... I agree. It's like, okay, move on from all of these theories and, like, stuff that have been, like, terribly perpetuated in the last couple of days, weeks.
You know. Yeah, I've been avoiding the news a lot.
I mean, it's probably best for mental health reasons to avoid the news.
You know, the world is on fire and I'm expected to just keep going on like it's not.
I mean, yeah. You got some pretty good news recently.
I did get pretty good news. I'm onboarding for my new job. And speaking of, I do need to fill out some paperwork for it after we're done here. But yes, I got offered $22.83 an hour, which is $5.30 more than I was making.
Well, that's exciting.
Yes.
Are they paying you for the onboarding stuff, or is it just like, go get your blood, like go pee in a cup and
it's fill go out pee in a cup, get a blood test, you know, that kind of thing. I have to go get a blood test done for TB.
Oh. I had to do that whenever I volunteered for the hospital. The junior volunteer.
That makes sense, because I'm gonna be working in a hospital setting. So
yeah.
I'm gonna be a patient service specialist.
Well, that's exciting.
Yes, I'm very excited. I'm currently doing the onboarding. No, as far as I'm aware, I'm not getting paid for the onboarding, but they did tell me if we're able to get everything done quickly, that they may be able to up my hire date so that I can start earlier. It's okay. I had emotionally prepared for the fact that I was going to be without a job for essentially a month. I'm going to be doing, just doing some delivery stuff for a bit. So this next week is really what I'm going to be focusing on that. But yeah, no, I'm pretty excited. I'm very thankful. It's been a very interesting time for me.
Jesus Christ.
I know. I'm off the rails right now.
Yeah.
Because like I haven't had a job this week, and that's been really weird. Because this is my first time being unemployed since I had long COVID. And yeah, so I'm kind of like, oh my God, what is happening? I don't know what to do with my life. But yeah. Other than that though, it's been pretty boring on my end. I decided to pick up knitting again. So I've been working on a project. I'm trying to figure out the best way to get my Korean grade up. I am not doing well in Korean right now. But yeah, I had a crazy dream though, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, what was it about?
I don't know what was going on, but like I was being chased by something or someone, and I kept trying to like get away in this house. I don't know, it was very odd. I also, like, at one point in the dream, while I'm like trying to escape from whatever this other thing is, I like got a phone call about a job interview. And then like I ran into this guy who was dressed like a priest, but apparently he wasn't a priest. I don't know. I was so confused. I was very confused. But anyway, How are you? How are things?
I'm good. I'm actually, so there's two things that I'm thinking about doing. One of them is buying a sewing machine and potentially sewing.
Okay.
But I don't know. The other thing, and I talked about it on the group chat, is potentially going back to school to get a doctorate in education.
Which I think that's a great idea, to be honest. But, you know, that's going to be up to you, though, because that's going to be, I don't know what the doctorate load is going to be in comparison.
It's 90 credits, 90 credit hours. But they did say, it does say that you could potentially use, like, transfer up to 30 credit hours from a master's, from the master's degree.
Okay.
So I think that's something I probably will want to look into first and see, like, what potentially would transfer over if I do want to go into doing it. But I don't know. I could be Dr. James Martin in a few years.
I think that'd be cool as fuck, to be honest.
Yeah. But those are the two things that I'm kind of thinking about. Getting a sewing machine or and potentially going back to school for my doctorate. But I don't know. We'll see.
Nice.
The other two things that I have. Well, yeah, two things that I have on my list. The first one is the Beetlejuice 2 trailer. Have you seen it yet?
I have not seen it yet.
It looks really cool. And it has Jenna Ortega, Catherine O'Hara, not Christina Ricci, Winona Ryder.
Right.
And what is his name?
Michael Keaton.
Yeah. So they're all in it. And it looks really fun. It looks exciting. I'm excited to see it. It doesn't come out until September. So Ryan was like, well, that does kind of make a good date for it because it's not going to compete with any like summer blockbusters. And it's right before Halloween. So people will go out and see it before the Halloween craze.
Ooh, speaking of movies, I went and saw Poor Things.
Oh, yeah.
The other day. Yeah. It was really good.
It's on Hulu.
Is it on Hulu?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Because I want to rewatch it. But I took myself out on a date to go see it. I got popcorn. I really enjoyed myself, actually. I was one of the only people in the theater, but that's where the trouble begins.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. I'm sitting there in the theater. I'm the only femme-presenting person in the theater. There's like four men sitting a couple of rows ahead of me watching this movie with me. And they were laughing at like the most inappropriate times.
Well, men are immature.
These were older men.
All men, no matter what age, are immature.
Anywho, I'm just like, this is not a movie to be laughing at, guys. Like, y'all are one of them. Okay, there was a moment. This is not a spoiler. There was a moment in the movie where one man is talking to another man about a woman, and he says, "There's one thing that I want you to promise me." And the other man says, "Of course, I will never touch her without her enthusiastic consent." And a man a couple of rows ahead of me started laughing at that.
I mean, you are also in Texas.
I know, but I'm like, it wasn't funny. It wasn't delivered funny. It wasn't.
No.
It was not a funny moment. And I'm just like, why are you laughing at somebody giving enthusiastic consent?
I don't know. Garbage people.
But anyway, absolutely great movie. Love it. 10 out of 10. Absolutely recommend.
Good. Ryan and I have been wanting to see it, but we were using his sister's Hulu, but we have since lost access to it. So it's like we don't have Hulu right now, but it is only like $5.99 on other streaming services. So I might just rent it one day and watch it.
I have Hulu through my Spotify account.
I don't have Spotify.
No, what I'm saying is, like, I have Hulu. I could give you my Hulu login. I have to look it up because I don't remember it off the top of my head.
Yeah, it's fine. We don't use it very much, so it wouldn't be that big of a deal to just rent it off of another platform that we do use.
Well, it is absolutely worth it. So,
like YouTube, it is on YouTube.
Oh, is it on like YouTube Premium?
But it's $5.99.
Still though, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad. No, it's absolutely, we just hit my computer, make the whole thing shake. Absolutely worth it. Great film. Very interesting, very odd, very quirky. But I would love to have an episode where we could talk about it. So you should absolutely watch it.
Speaking of, did you see her like reaction to winning the Oscar. Yeah. She was basically like crying the entire time.
Yeah. I saw her crying. I don't remember anything that she said. I just remembered her trying to talk through the tears.
she was in shock. And I think a lot of people were shocked that Lily Gladstone didn't win. But I think it's, again, like, you have to think about the Oscars and like how it works. And most of the time, whoever like promotes it. That's not what I was going to say. But most of the time it's basically like what company will put up the most money is more likely to win.
Which is also because they're racist and horrible and have always been. Not to mention that the Oscars only care about specific genres. So even if you have an amazing, wonderful movie, if it is not in one of the quote unquote approved genres, it doesn't get any attention. Like, phenomenal horror films have been developed that should have won awards and did not. But also, like, just I don't even fuck with the Oscars because it's a racist institution that actually does not care about who actually did the best job. But like you said, you know, which company paid the most money for it?
So speaking of people that deserve, I won't say deserve, that may... I don't know. I was going to make a transition to talking about the J-Lo music video and documentary that is kind of surrounding it. Have you seen this on like TikTok and stuff where it's just like people are watching the documentary and they're like, she keeps saying stuff to make herself seem relatable. And like, she is actually like, she was actually from the Bronx and poor at one point, and people from like New York and the Bronx are like, that didn't happen. She didn't do those things. That's not something that you would do. If you go to a bodega, you don't say, give me this like chips. It's like, what chips? What chips do you want? It's like, there's a bunch of different kinds of chips. And what is what orange drink are you talking about?
Yeah.
So it's like, partially I think of that is probably because she didn't want to like name a brand. Probably partially because she reached out to some of the brands to see if they would sponsor it, and they probably said no. But the one of the biggest things that's kind of out right now about the documentary and is that everyone basically told her she shouldn't do it. It's not going to make any money. It's going to fail. And she was like, well, that's fine. I'll just put my own $20 million into it. And then she was like calling all of these people asking if they would be like make a cameo in it. And a bunch of them said no. And a lot of them were like, it doesn't sound like something that's going to be worth it or make anything come of it. So I'm going to say no. Like she reached out to Khloe Kardashian apparently. And Khloe Kardashian was like, I think I'll pass. Which Khloe is my favorite of the Kardashians, but
I mean, I don't have a favorite Kardashian.
She's really the only one I like.
I like watching the girl make fun of the Kardashians and pretend to be each one of them. Yeah, yeah. 'Cause that makes me laugh all the time.
The one that puts like the sticky notes on her nail on her fingers. Yeah. I don't remember who that is, but yeah, she's pretty funny.
I don't remember who it is either, but she makes me laugh. I love watching her little YouTube skits. No, I had not heard all of that, but I did hear some of the controversy around it. Specifically, somebody was like, I went to school with her. She was not like that.
Oh yeah, it's like she was saying stuff about her hair and like how it used to be frizzy, and she would like do something, and yeah, the woman was like, I went to school with her. It wasn't, yeah, she wasn't like that. So it's interesting.
Yeah.
But then that kind of brings us to our, but not really that, but I mean, she could be a philanthropist if she did want to be, because she is a millionaire.
I mean, obviously, she just dumped $20 million into something that everybody told her was a bad idea, when yeah, she could have, I don't know, dumped that $20 million back into the neighborhood that she was from originally.
Right. So that brings us to kind of our discussion this week. And we're talking about philanthropy and some female philanthropists, because we are, again, continuing the theme of Women's History Month. And I figured it would be a good idea to, we kind of talked about it in the last episode about like people giving back and what does philanthropy look like. But I also looked up like the definition and the differences between philanthropy and charity. Charity is something that you like donate time and some money sometimes, but it's like a short term type of thing. Whereas philanthropy kind of tries to adjust or address the root cause of some social issue. Although I think the way that people are using philanthropy newer, it is more like It's kind of muddied down into basically charity, because a lot of the times you'll look up charity or you'll look up philanthropy, and it's really like you can donate money to this cause. And it's like, well, that's not really philanthropy. That's donating money.
Right. Philanthropy involves more than just money. It involves your time. It involves your effort. It involves, like you said, addressing like the root cause.
Yeah.
So for example, Audrey Hepburn was a philanthropist. She left acting specifically to give her time and her money and her efforts to helping poverty-stricken countries and helping poverty-stricken children. So like that's how she ended her life. Like she spent the rest of her life working with all these different people trying to make a better world.
Law enforcers Musanka.
Oh my goodness.
Did you hear that? Was that loud?
That was loud.
Oh,
that was
sorry.
Real loud. That's gonna be in the recording.
Well, I was trying to see if this would tell me how to say this person's name, because I don't want to say it terribly. But that kind of brings us to our first topic. So I pulled two different articles, and the first one is about six female philanthropists who you should really know, and it is from Global Citizen, which is, it looks like a French magazine or a French article. So it just has six different philanthropists or female philanthropists, and kind of talks a little bit about what they've done. So the first one is Noella Musanka. It's her first and last name. And she's the founder of Malika, a nonprofit organization that operates a free school for 230 disadvantaged girls in Kalibuka, I'm assuming. I'm going to say it. That's what it is. If it's wrong, I apologize. Which is just a village in the southeastern region of the Democratic Republic of Congo. And she was born in the Congo, but left at a young age after her father's death because her mother was unable to provide for her financially. And her goal was, she was determined to ensure that other families don't have to separate because of poverty. And she committed her career to helping turn goodwill into action, empowering a generation of young leaders eager to build a bright future for their country. So that's philanthropy. So she found a cause that makes that was true to like her, and it was basically something that she went through, and she is like, her the goal of the foundation that she founded is to kind of make it easier for people in the Republic of the Congo, Democratic Republic of the Congo, to be able to live if something happens for some reason to one of their parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. The next one is Carolyn Rafaelian, the founder of Alex and Annie, a jewelry empire that has donated over $30 million dollars in USD to charities around the world. Charity by Design, the philanthropic arm of the company, works with charities to create one-of-a-kind charms that are incorporated into their bangles and necklaces. And apparently, the Global Citizen is currently working with Carolyn and her team to create a collection for flying kites to raise funds for a girls' dorm for orphaned and vulnerable children. This would be not an example of philanthropy, because again, this is just money donations, and the money, she's making charms for bangles and necklaces to raise that money.
I mean, I think I think I would still consider it philanthropy, because she's also bringing awareness, and through the donation of that money, because she also donated $30 million. It's not only like you're selling something, but you're also, the proceeds basically are going to actually benefit the fund for the orphaned and vulnerable children.
Right. But I don't know. It's just not really, for me, looking at that, it's not really, it's $30 million donated to charities around the world. So different charities. It's just money. It's not effort. It's not going to those places. And it doesn't specify which charity she's donating to. It just says charities.
No.
So for me, I would not consider that philanthropic under the definition that we were using.
Yeah. And then the next one, moving on to the next one, is Lila Janas. She has a nonprofit called SamaSource, and it's turning the notion of charity on its head by proving that the world's poorest people are not passive victims waiting for handouts, but rather more of a massive, largely untapped and highly capable workforce desperate for a chance to work their own way out of poverty. So she found the Somasaurus was founded in 2008 and works with companies like eBay and Google to break down large digital tasks into micro work, which enables workers in developing countries to earn a livable living wage. She's worked with in rural Kenya for the past 10 years. And the person that wrote the article says she's seen firsthand that more than anything else, people want the opportunity to earn a fair income and support their themselves and their families.
So that is philanthropy, because it's not just money thrown at a problem. She's trying to address the problem itself.
Well, don't you think awareness is also part of, like, it's not just money. You're building more awareness around what's going on too.
I think awareness only goes so far when you have that much money and all you're doing is just giving that and not anything else. And again, divvied up amongst other many, many charities, not specifying which charities, because there are a lot of bogus charities out there, friend. Who's she donating to? Where's that money going to? See, the other two people that we talked about told us exactly where that money is going, told us exactly what's going on. That just says, oh, she donated $30 million to various charities. Whoop-de-friggin-do. That's how I feel about that. Just because you're rich doesn't mean you're actually doing anything. All right, Lauren Bush Lauren is our next person. Hello, McAfee. Quit popping up in the middle of things. Her social business Feed makes beautiful bags that fund feeding programs in impoverished communities and schools in America and abroad. While a student at Princeton, Lauren joined the UN World Food Program as a student spokesperson and was inspired to merge her passion for design and fashion with her desire to build a purpose-driven business. Hunger is a big deal. Apparently the article again mentions flying kites. Where they added breakfast to their school feeding program because children who come to school hungry cannot be expected to focus on lessons before lunchtime. And I get that, because I was one of those hungry kids.
I'm surprised you didn't jump to that one and say that that's not really philanthropy either.
You were giving me this look like if I did it again that you were going to hang up on me, so I wasn't going to.
I'm going to kick her off the call.
I looked at you. And saw the look on your face.
Well, I was reading through the next one as well.
I was like, I guess I won't say anything on this one.
I don't know. I'm personally struggling, because it's like, I don't see how you draw the line between philanthropy and charity. It's kind of hard too for me, because, like, to me, I can try and be philanthropic, but, like, I don't necessarily have the ability to, like, go and be somewhere to, like, be in the woods, but I can donate to a company or business a charity that is there doing the work. And that's how I'm, like, bringing awareness to and helping out the cause that I'm really, I find important. Like, to me, I still think that's philanthropic, because you're bringing awareness to and you're donating to charities. I know it says several charities, but all of these charities could be working for the same cause. Again, this article, the little bit that we're looking at, doesn't really say exactly what charities. The other two, the ones of the four that we've looked at now, five that we've looked at now, some of them say specific charities, but that's because the people have started the charities, or they work as, like, a chairperson on the charity. Whereas maybe for, and I have no idea who this person is, but I'm saying for, like, Carolyn, she may not work with a charity or work specifically with one charity, but she has, like, potentially done her research and said, okay, well, this money will go to these charities because they're working towards this cause. I don't honestly know, and I'm not super, I don't know why I'm, like, gung-ho really, like, trying to justify this woman, but I think to me,
I don't know.
Yeah, I think to me, when you start saying, oh, well, that's not really philanthropy, it's basically turning people off or making people not want to actually do it, or want to kind of get involved, because they're like, well, somebody's gonna say, well, that's not really you, you're just a rich person that's throwing money at a problem. And it's like, but you're still donating money to help the issue.
But let me ask you this though, because here's my problem with upholding rich people as philanthropists. Because as you said in your statement at the beginning, where you were talking about the definition about philanthropy involves more than just money.
That could be research. They can also be,
but that's not what they're saying in here though. What they're saying is they're donating to multiple charities. They don't list the charities, what those charities do, what
I'm not
that
saying
money
this
is
is
doing.
I'm not saying this is a very thorough article.
No. And that's fine. Yeah. But I think the problem with me, not with me, but that I have, I mean, I have a problem, obviously. We already know that. Mental illness, baby. but no, my problem is most often what happens is we uphold these ultra wealthy people as these great, you know, great people. They're really out there, you know, doing philanthropic work and blah, blah, blah. But in reality, all they're doing is they're just throwing money at something and pretending like they did something big. And it pisses me off. It's like, yeah. For example, when we were just talking about J-Lo dumped $20 million into this project that everybody said is a bad idea. She's just rich. That's the only thing that she has going for her.
No.
She's rich. And so it's like when people talk about, oh, Bill Gates is a philanthropist, blah, blah, blah. There are no ethical billionaires. So why is he still a billionaire? If he's such a big philanthropist, why is he still ultra mega wealthy?
No.
He should not have any of that money left. He should be giving it away. He should be putting it into things. The people who, this is what pisses me off, is people think that they're doing something amazing and wonderful by throwing money at a charity, but that's not enough. Like, you can't just throw money at something and expect that to fix everything. Like, it requires work, which is why I was talking about Audrey Hepburn. Audrey Hepburn, if we want to talk about a philanthropist really quick, I just pulled up an article, I'll send it to you. Okay. She gave up her acting career. She, at the time that she gave up her acting career, she was one of the most popular actresses in Hollywood. And she gave it all up because she suffered from hunger as a child and did not want other children in the world to suffer from it. So she joined with UNICEF. She went all over the world donating her time, her money, her energy, making sure that children were actually being fed. So to me, that's what philanthropy is. It's not just throwing money at a situation. You're actually like giving yourself to that cause. You're doing the work. Like, she went to war-ravaged countries to make sure that people were fed, like working diligently with UNICEF up until the day that she died. She had cancer at the end and was still going out there and still giving all of her time and energy to these things. So it just really doesn't impress me when somebody's just rich and just throws money at something.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think it's kind of, it depends on how, like, what the approach is. I don't necessarily agree with the statement that you can't have money and still be philanthropic. Because, I mean, just because they don't give all of their money away doesn't mean that the money that they do donate doesn't make a larger impact than it would have if they didn't give that money away.
That's true.
The other thing I'm going to say about it is, it doesn't, just because they're also donating money doesn't mean that they're not also working on, like, the chair of the charity to make sure that what their money goes towards doesn't, like, is impacting what they want to. So I think philanthropy is, there's spectrums to philanthropy. There's, like, the people that are on a chair that kind of direct where the money that they're donating to or they're giving to the charity goes and makes sure, like, they're more of the admin side of it, where they're paying attention to for the people that are on site actually working towards helping the people that are ravaged or suffering, are doing the ethical things and are doing it properly. So they're interviewing people, hiring people that are on site actually doing it. There's, like, that spectrum, which is like, I'm doing it because I want to make a change, but I can't necessarily say that I'm going there to do it in person. Like, I might fly there a couple times a year or a couple times a month and actually see how things are going there, but not, like, physically getting in there, like digging, building houses or moving the food from place to place. And then there are the people that are like Audrey Hepburn, like you're talking about, where they're physically going, they're donating all of their time, all of their money once they have that time, that ability to. And, like, there's the spectrum. Like, it's not all or nothing whenever I think of philanthropy.
But I think if we go back to the definition, that the end of the spectrum that you're talking about is just charity work, which is fine. That's fine. Like donating your time and energy to a charity in that aspect, like doing the administrative stuff, that's fine. But that's not philanthropic. That's charity work, according to the definition that we used.
And that's where I think the lines blur, because if you look, like, this is the full definition: addresses the root cause of social issues and requires a more strategic, long-term approach. In addition to giving money or volunteering, some philanthropists participate in advocacy work. So that's the full definition that's included.
Mm-hmm. So it talks about long-term. So charity work often is not long-term. Charity work needs to take care of a short-term problem.
But what I'm saying is, like, when someone is being philanthropic and but they're being on, like, the chair of a of an organization, that to me is long-term work, because they're the ones that are coordinating behind the scenes to make sure that the money's getting to them, that the people that you're ordering, like food and stuff that's being sent and all of that, that's to me is part of that long-term approach.
Okay, so then going back to Carolyn Raphaelian, she's just the founder of Alex and Annie. She actually, it doesn't even say that she developed Charity by Design or that she's one of the people who works to create the one-of-a-kind charms that raise the money. Like, she's literally, she's just the founder of a jewelry empire, is literally what it says. So,
and I think I wasn't
not fit.
I think I wasn't talking specifically about her.
No, I know.
She
I'm
was
just
a cog. She was just a cog in the greater discussion about philanthropy and the broad spectrum.
But even going with what we just said, reading that full definition, she still does not fit on this list.
Yeah, and I will say, I'm looking
what
on
what root causes is she addressing? What is she doing?
Yeah, I will say I'm looking on the website and it doesn't even say anything about, like, we donate money to this and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's literally all about, I didn't choose this woman.
I know, I'm just saying, this is why I'm saying I didn't understand why you're like, let me just go to bat for this woman real quick.
Oh, I'm not going to bat for this woman. I'm going to bat for the people that are doing and want to be philanthropists, but don't necessarily have the ability to go, like, to where it's actually happening, or maybe don't have the ability to, like, build houses or, like, move food or rocks and stuff like that. The people that are more like, okay, what I can do is work on the admin side of it, where I'm making sure that the money, that the things are ordered, the right people are hired to do the jobs that are on site. Like, those people right. are still part of the big goal and the philanthropy portion of it. And it's not so much just the people that are actually like Audrey Hepburn, who is leaving and going and doing these things. That was what I was arguing. I don't know why I'm arguing so hard for it, because I don't care. And I'm not either one of those.
You know what, though? The podcast needed a little drama. So I think we're doing great right now. Also, I thought about something this morning that I just want to say to anybody who's listening. We do not script any of this. I know that there's lots of podcasts that they have a script that they stick to. We don't.
No, we I mean, we read the article whenever we find an article, and that's the only part. That's the only part that's scripted. This part where we're bickering back and forth.
Yeah. Also, I do also want to say that we do, in fact, love each other, and we are very good friends. We're not mad at each other. We just like bickering.
I don't know. Every time, every now and then, I just want to put a pillow over her face and just until it stops moving.
Just stop moving already, you stupid bitch. Oh my god. All right. Anyway, going back to what we were talking about. All right. Nyla Rogers is the founder of Mama Hope. Their global advocate initiative connects people who are interested in social justice projects with community-based organizations through an intensive 9-month training program. This model mitigates many of the inherent risks attached to outsiders looking to volunteer their time by equipping global advocates with the tools, education, and support they need to actually have a meaningful impact. One of the most innovative aspects of Nyla's program is its emphasis emphasis on ensuring that visiting advocates support local staff on the ground rather than imposing on external perspective, which it sounds like I'm having a hot flash. Huh. Anyway, she's doing what you were talking about, yeah. Which is she's chairpersoning this and making sure that everything is fitting the specific needs that they have.
Yeah, and they're not finding people that just want to go there just to go there, or they have like a hidden agenda that they want to go there to like bring someone to Christianity or
right, like white like, saviorism. And
yeah, so they're. It sounds like the 9 months, which is a really intensive program for 9 months, and that's yeah. a baby. It's a program where they're making sure that the people that do sign up and say that they want to volunteer their time are actually able to do the things that they are saying that they're going to do, and they're giving them those tools. So that's a I like that one, and that kind of does lead into like I was saying, the spectrum.
Right.
She's donating money, but she's also on the chair and has created this organization that gives those people the tools that do want to join and go in and do it to right. actually make an impact that they intended to.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And then the last one on this list, and we have a whole other one that has 10 more, but I don't think we're going to get to it because we kind of went off on our own little tangent. But I will link both this one and the other one that is from She Factor, 10 female philanthropists we admire, from October 2020. So it's just another one that kind of has some interesting female philanthropists that I think would make a good read. And then we're kind of talking about, yeah, we can kind of put these lists together and say, well, here are these women and here's what they're doing. But I'll always do like your research, kind of like what we just did with the company the jewelry company. Yeah, the jewelry company. I mean, there's nothing on their site even about the philanthropy work that company does. I would say if it's not listed and it's not showing like this is what we've done type of thing, it's I don't know that they do it. That's not like their main purpose.
Yep.
The main purpose for that is really just jewelry company.
Yeah. Also, to be fair, looking over the other article, it also lists some of the same people that were already going off.
Yeah. I will say Tori Burch is in there, and that's kind of one that she has a foundation that she created, but it's a foundation in her name. So that kind of makes me cringe a little bit.
Agreed.
But back to this list. So we have Angie, and Angie Jansen is her name. Donors are often keen to give me items. Okay, so this is talking from her perspective, I'm assuming. Donors are often keen to give me items for our school in Kenya that prove too difficult to transport there, or which would be better sourced locally. So they're trying to give her things that they think would help, but it's hard for them to get them there, or it would make more
sense to use what's already available.
Yeah, and it would make like you're buying something from a business that's local to the area instead of a big business somewhere else. So Angie Jansen's new organization makes it easy to make sure these items get to the people who need them the most. A few years ago, she wanted to donate her guest room bed to someone who might need it, but had no way to find them. She called some women's shelters and group homes to see if they could help, connect her to a family in need, but nobody was able to help Angie help her community. So she started Donny, a nonprofit organization that connects goods and gear to the people who really need them. Philanthropy in a term. Oh, this is just the end of it. So, I mean, to me, it sounds like she was like, okay, I see a need, people. This to me is kind of I struggle to say that this where on the spectrum of philanthropy this would fall, because it sounds like, I mean, she created an organization that is putting people in contact that want to like donate stuff or donate things that might make a bigger impact than if they like just give them to like a Goodwill or something.
Mm-hmm. And it looks like I'm looking at the website right now.
Yeah.
And what they have is they have something called the Donny Kiosk, which the app matches your goods with local charities. You find your charity, print a label, stick it on your items, and then you drop your stuff in the box and congratulate yourself is literally what it says. Don't do that. That's disgusting behavior. Do not congratulate yourself on quote unquote doing something good for someone else. That's so gross.
I think that's to dumb it down. Do I think that's the best term to use? Absolutely not.
That's so gross.
But I think that's to dumb it down for the people that are like, oh, this is a good, okay, this makes sense. But it's like, yeah, that's a bit much.
Don't congratulate. The whole point, I hate that I am about to do this, but I am about to bring in something. If
God, she's got a dildo.
No,
I had to bring some lightness to this video, to this recording.
Okay. The Bible says, okay, because a lot of these people also consider themselves extremely religious. The Bible specifically says, do not do things for the recognition. It says when you pray, pray in private. Don't pray in front of everybody else like the hypocrites. Don't go into something being like, I'm gonna do something nice for somebody else because it's gonna make me feel good, like about myself. Like, oh my God, I'm such a good person. Look at me donating my useless shit to somebody who might need it.
This makes me think of that video. It was a few years ago where this girl is on the, like, she's taking a video and she's talking about, oh, this, she said homeless, unhoused person asked me for my food. And I was like, I gave it to him and now I feel bad. And then in the background, someone screams, if you post about it, it's not a good deed. And she's like, I'm not posting about me being a good person. I'm not a good person. I miss my guacamole.
I had the best guacamole of my life. So I took it to go and I was walking and this homeless man who was like borderline terrifying was like, can I have your leftovers? And I didn't know what to do. So I was just like, it's just a box of guacamole. Like, do you like guacamole? And he was like, yeah. And it wasn't a good deed. I'm not bragging about being a good person. I'm saying I miss my guacamole and I wish I never gave it to the homeless man. I'm not a good person.
But it's true. If you have to go and tell somebody that you did something good, you immediately decrease the value of the good thing you just did because you didn't do it with the right intentions. And intention matters.
Yeah, I think, and I think that's one of the things that I always look at. And it's like, what, you can do something and do it for a reason. But if you like then post and like, oh, look what I did, then it kind of like cancels out the good that you just did. It makes it look like you're also then wanting, like, you're wanting kudos for doing it. And it's like, did you do it for the right reasons?
Right. Which is the other reason that I also don't like ultra rich people being held up on this pedestal of like, look at all the good they're doing. And I'm just like, it's really, really public.
Yeah.
And all they're doing is giving money.
But is it they're publicizing it or someone else is publicizing it is the thing that I always look at. Because it's like if they're doing it in private and then like someone of the staff that is like benefiting from what they're doing is then going in and be like, oh, yeah, she did this, this and this and this person did this and this and this.
Yeah,
but is it really their fault?
How often does that happen, though? Is it actually somebody else coming forward and saying, you know, this person did amazing and wonderful things for me and really changed my life? Versus like Oprah, for example, who's constantly going on and on about how much money she's doing to do this and how much money goes towards this. And oh my God, we're doing this. And now we're going to give everybody this and blah, blah, blah. It just bothers me.
No.
Because I'm just like, you're not doing it for the right reasons. You're doing it for the praise and the glory because you want to be remembered.
No.
I don't give two fucks if I'm remembered by the whole entire world. I want to be remembered for doing things because it was important and because it mattered, not because I wanted the kudos for it.
I was going to say I pulled this other article from GoFundMe that says how to become a philanthropist with no money. But now that I'm reading it, a lot of it is like, it's not really philanthropic. It's more charity work than anything. So like there's volunteer your time, which I mean, that kind of, it depends. Like, what are you volunteering to do? Are you volunteering to like pick up trash? That's more, I mean, that's really not even charity to me. That's being a good person. So it's like, all right, volunteer your time, perform random acts of kindness. That's kind of on, I mean, again, you're just being a good person. give away your old belongings. Again, it kind of depends. So like I can't remember when it was, but when we were younger, we in school, they would do like this thing where if you have old cell phones, drop off your cell phone for like the women's shelter and they'll repurpose it. And it's like, okay, that, I mean, you're not really being philanthropic. You're just, you're finding something that can help you get rid of something, but also be good for someone else. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to understand the difference between philanthropy, and to me that's where it's kind of muddied between philanthropy and charity. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there are some good things if you are looking to like donate or make an impact, maybe not be philanthropic, but make an impact in someone else's lives. There are a couple of good things on here about like donate to, which I'm not a huge fan of Make-A-Wish Foundation. Some of the stuff is kind of questionable that they do, or they don't do enough research sometimes in who they're considering a worthy cause. But then also they also bring in like celebrities to make it like, oh, look what we did. One of the like kind of being boastful about something that they're doing. But there's a couple options. Give blood. I'm not a huge person where I think giving blood is, to me, I don't like it. But then it's also, until recently, because I'm a gay man, I wasn't able to give blood.
I think if you're wanting to know the best ways to help your community, because the best way to start doing any kind of philanthropy is to start in your own community.
Yeah.
And the best resource that you're going to find in your own community of what the needs and wants of that community are is your local public library.
Yeah.
So donate your time, your money, you know, whatever you are able to your public library, and watch your community flourish from there.
Talk to a librarian about some of the programs that they have, because maybe you can volunteer your time and help out with a program.
Exactly. I know that the public library here, where I live, they have specific days where they do ESL, which is English as a Second Language, classes. That's all donated. Like none of that, the library doesn't pay for that. People volunteer their time and their energy to come in and help people who are trying to learn English as a second language.
That's one of the things that we brought in, because when we were looking for ways to kind of give people an ESL class, but try and like find something that is would also make a difference in like the community or something that we could impact the community with. Mm-hmm. We brought a local library in, and they have one of those. It's not an ESL class, but they have, it's like a conversation session where a bunch of people will get together in and like have like practice using their English and like give each other feedback, but like have it in a comfortable, safe place where everybody's kind of on the same wavelength and the same spot, where they'll understand and be kind of a little bit more lenient with you if you mess something up or say something wrong. And it's a great program. The only problem is with the people that at my work, it's around the same time that they're working, so they can't. It was hard to kind of get it to where they would be able to be involved.
But that's the thing that a lot of people don't realize is like the library is central to your community. The library is gonna know more about what's going on and what the needs of the community are. Like for example, our local library has a seed catalog where families can take some of the seeds from there.
I've heard of that before. Yeah.
Like, because there's a lot of food poverty around here, but it's because a lot of people don't have access to be able to, you know, grow anything. And it's very powerful. And I'm not just saying that because like I have a degree in library science, but like in all honesty, the library is like the pulse of your community. So if you know what you can do to help your local library, then that's going to be the best place for you to start in helping your community.
Yeah.
I mean, I donate my money to the library all the time.
Is that donation, Sarah, because you're buying books?
I'm buying books that have been weeded from the collection. But that money does go to the library. I just have the excuse that I also get to buy books while I do it.
Yeah, and if anyone out there is a grant writer, work with your local your library and see what grants you can kind of help them get to help them get money from the government.
Right, make
our tax dollars pay for something at the government or at the library.
Exactly.
Well, this was a heated conversation at some points, but an interesting one. I think it kind of goes to the core of what we've said our podcast we want to be, where we're kind of talking about like both sides of the conversation and then talking like having an actual like just discussion about our thoughts on the conversation. And that's what we wanted our podcast to be. So
true.
Yeah. Well, are you doing anything fun this weekend?
I am. I'm very, very excited. So I'm a weirdo and I celebrate my half birthday, which is coming up on Monday. So for my half birthday, I bought myself tickets to go see Edgar Allan Poe, A Tale of Madness, the ballet.
Oh, that's fun.
I'm so excited. So on Sunday, I'm going to the ballet. I've already decided what I'm going to wear. I'm going to get super dressed up because obviously it's a ballet. I have to be fancy. I haven't been to the ballet in years and I love ballet so much.
We went in, I think it was 2021, to the Boston Ballet.
Oh, I remember that.
And it was nice.
The last time I went to the ballet was... Before I got long COVID. So it was 2021. I think it was sometime in December. It was December right before. But we went to, Nick Horace and I went to the ballet at that time. But that was it. And that was the first time I've been to the ballet in like over a decade at that point. But I love ballet. I love Edgar Allan Poe. I'm very excited about this because it's going to be an amalgamation of like his life, but also his works. And I'm very interested to see how they developed this ballet. So
no. Well, that's fun.
What are you doing?
I don't honestly know. It's supposed to be rainy and gross here. So it's kind of like I don't really want to do anything. But I do need to get my hair cut because it's starting to drive me nuts. So tomorrow I'll probably go and get my hair cut at some point. But I kind of really just want to like organize the house because it's driving me nuts. It's driving me nuts. And yesterday I looked at Ryan and he has this really bad habit. And you've lived with me, so you know, of especially when it comes to chips, of getting chips but not finishing them.
Yes.
And then getting more chips and so still having the bag. Yes.
Chips.
Yes. Yep. So yep. I was like, I looked at him and I was like, this needs to go. I don't care what you do with it. I don't care where it goes. It needs to go.
That's totally fair. That's totally fair. At least combine the chip bags.
No, like, he won't eat them then because they're stale. So he won't eat the stale chips. So if he combines them, then you're just ruining the entire bag of chips. They are to him.
Okay.
He's crazy. He's crazy. He's a crazy old man.
We all have our quirks.
I don't have any. I'm perfect.
Okay.
Perfect. I'm perfect.
You're right. You're Mary Poppins.
I don't go that far. I don't have a giant bag full of everything.
I meant for the practically perfect in every way.
And cocaine. Wait, no.
Cocaine? What?
That's what the spoonful of sugar actually was.
I mean,
booger sugar.
That or laudanum.
What is laudanum?
Laudanum is made from opium. It's very it's a dreamy drug is how they usually describe it.
Gross. Well, you ready to call it a podcast?
I think yeah, it's safe to call it a podcast.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to this week's episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. We hope you liked it. If you would like to give us a comment, a follow, a like, a comment, and don't forget to follow or subscribe. That was a mess. It's staying in the only scripted part. And it's staying in. If you'd like to leave us a review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen, as this will help get the podcast out to more people and help us grow. Feel free to follow us on social media. Our handle everywhere is at Now About That Pod. So if you don't come up on the search, then we're not on that platform. And if there's something specific you would like us to discuss on the podcast, feel free to email us. Our email is at Our email is nowaboutthatpod@gmail.com or visit our website, www.nowaboutthatproductions.com. You can also call and leave us a voicemail or send us a text message with any questions you would like us to answer. Our phone number is 765-557-4170. Again, thanks for listening, and we hope you have a great week and enjoyed our fun, witty banter back and forth. Sarah, enjoy the ballet. I'm excited for you.
I'm very excited. I can't wait to talk about it on the next episode.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.